What up, what up? Post show number 138. Packed episode today. We talked about a lot of movies, a lot of live action stuff. So, live action in the front, anime in the back. We start off with The Substance. We're still, as you'll be able to see, continuing down our 2024 Oscars review of all the Oscar nominated movies. We're going to try and have all those done by the time the Oscars air. And then we'll try and make like some predictions and some picks before they all come out. So we start with The Substance, then we do The Apprentice, Challengers, The Whale from the Oscars a couple of years back, Severance season 2 episodes 2 and 3, spoiler warning for those, Solo Leveling season 2, but the episode numbers are weird, episodes 16 and 17 of the whole series, Sakamoto Days episodes 3 and 4, briefly touch on Dragon Ball Daima and the fact that it's nearly over. Then we've got some news, some Fantastic Four trailers. I think that's like actually at the front of the show, but some other stuff. Hopefully you enjoy. Grant, hit him with that music. Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hey, David.
What's up, bro?
How we doing?
I'm exhausted, man. I'm feeling it. I was telling you off mic, as they say. And I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the I don't know, the crush of like the blue season. And the exhaustion of the rat race. I think that's what it is. I'm just, it's funny. It's like you give and you take. Like the having routine dialed is so good for me, but I also feel like my days evaporate.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like I'm just robotically doing one thing into the next. Anyway, I'm just grumpy because I.
The weather's been awful, like truly awful, you know.
Yeah.
It came like because we had that big snowstorm yesterday,
yeah
and I got home. I'm talking to Leanne, and I'm like, I didn't know that was coming. I was
yeah
like, it's just one of those things where like you miss the like the weather forecast for one day, and
yeah
you're just out of work. You're like, oh, I had no idea this was in the cards. So this is now the rest of our week.
it's
But
also
yeah.
all this weird shit that you're used to by now, like the weird domestic chores that are now part of my day to day, like having a recycling day. Like I know that's the very first world, but it's like I never had a recycling day before. Now,
Sure.
granted, it's not like it turned my world upside down, but it's like that in
Oh, but when
conjunction
you miss it, it's that
that,
one
or
hurts.
you throw a party and you've got, whatever, like all this recycling. But it's like it's that in conjunction with the 411 other things I have to do that day. And then your poor life partner is like, hey, you think you could clean the air fryer real quick? And it's like, you mean with all this time I have? Tell you what, I'll throw that air fryer through the fucking window. No, I'm not that guy. But I thought those words, Grant. I fucking thought
Do we
them.
delay bedtime by 10 minutes and deal with it in the morning, or
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm 33. I'm talking like I'm 47. So, I don't know what the, I don't know what the answer is other than substance abuse. And it's tough being sober, I'll tell you
An
that.
anime.
In anime.
That's our saving grace.
Before we get into anime, I think we have to talk about like the true heavy hitter. And that is, I assume you're really closely following this scandal between Justin Baldoni, Blake Lively, and Ryan Reynolds.
You know what? I am like a little keyed in on that.
I actually can't get away from it. I don't know,
Yeah, the
I
algorithm
guess.
wants us to see it hard, yeah.
The algorithm's pushing it hard, and I guess I don't want to say it's rare for celebrity beef to happen, but it's probably a little different. Like, I think the situation is actually kind of unique in that, like, they came off promoting a movie into arguing about it, and then she steals Final Cut, and then they immediately talk shit about each other, and then now they're suing each other for hundreds of millions of dollars. It's quite messy.
Well, it's it's like the 1-2 of like it started off as like the court of public opinion, and then like almost immediately became like actual like litigation. And I was like, oh wow, like they immediately stepped this up. But I don't know, like it is eerily reminiscent to the Johnny Depp stuff and Amber Heard. Like Johnny Depp is like okay, like I've enjoyed some stuff he's in. Amber Heard, like I had no like association to, but like as like that went on, like it was so ugly, like and like a like it was too on, it was too involved, the internet was too invested because it was on like that court TV too, so people are like were watching that,
Yeah, I mean, I think they
and it was
had
COVID I think
it
around that
was
time.
I think they had documentaries about that trial before it was over. It was wild.
But the difference with this one is, like, I have no association with this Justin Baldoni guy. He sounds like a real piece of work, to be honest. Like, but, like, I don't like Ryan Reynolds or Blake Lively all that much. So it's like, whether they're on the good side of things or not, like, they just, like, annoy me. And it's like, I'm rooting for no one in this in this situation. So it's kind of like, you know, trash, you know, like, kind of like trash, like, TV or whatever. But
for sure, I didn't watch Jerry. Yeah, I didn't think we'd actually get into it. But to your point about it's reminiscent of the Johnny Depp stuff. I mean, at first I was like, what do you mean? Like, as far as I'm aware, there's no intense abuse. But, like, what one thing that it is very similar to, which is what I'm sure you're probably referencing, is the more you read, the more you get the vibe that everyone sucks here. All of you guys suck. Like, also, do you want the theory that I'm not the first person to have, but, like, do you want, if we cut through the middle and, like, read between the lines, you want to know what my take is on what happened?
I love a take.
Nobody's asking. I mean, I think they clearly hooked up, and it went.
Oh,
I think it went so fucking sideways.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know, all the texts that he's leaking and all the shit she's saying. It's just like, what the fuck were you two doing? What were you two doing at work?
The thing that, like, makes me laugh is, like, almost with the exception of, like, him and, like, and them a couple times, it's weirdly like it's their lawyers, which is common. Like, the lawyers do all the talking in the news, but it's like their voices via the lawyer, which seems like kind of new-ish. And I kind of find that angle a little funny. And it's like, you know, but, like, they're not even saying that, like, this is a quote from Blake Lively, but, like, it's clearly, like, a quote from Blake Lively. I don't know. It's, if you know, like I said, it's good trash reading and viewing. Well, I guess more reading than viewing, but.
Yeah, a very wild, it's a very wild PR disaster to come out of a movie that no one cares about anyway. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, the biggest story about the movie is the star and the director hating each other. Like, it's not about...
I do believe it did pretty decent business.
Shit. Like, What was it called?
It Ends With Us? Is that what it's called? I think it's... It Ends With Us.
Fuck, you're right. I'm wrong. Yeah. Fuck, it did great.
Yeah, dude. My understanding is, like, the author is, like, one of the... I don't think it's, like, a... It's not like those smut fantasy books that are, like, big right now, but it's like a really popular author right now.
She's 2016 novel of the same name. It Ends With Us. Colleen Hoover.
Colleen Hoover, yeah. She's kind of a big deal.
Stuff. Did $350 million worldwide off a budget of $25 million. What the fuck do I know? There you go. Well, scrap everything from before that, Grant. We'll start rolling now. No, we're going to keep this in here. Yeah. Because sometimes I miss, but let it be known, I've been known not to miss. And when Superman bombs, you'll be coming back to me.
Did you see the Fantastic Four trailer?
I did. And speaking of which, like, I didn't really do a whole lot for me. I don't know. Did that do a lot for you?
I'll be honest. I saw it in a reel that was like a third of the size. And then something you would watch, like a reactor is watching it.
Oh, okay.
And I was, like, about to, like, go somewhere and do something. I'm like, I'm not going to go, like, search this out. I'll just watch this video.
Oh, okay.
But it was just, like, the guy going, like, flame on. Like, he was, like, waiting for that moment. Like, never was coming. He just kept saying flame on.
That's funny.
At various points. So, but I don't know. Like, it looked...
Looked fine.
My one take is the Rock guy, the Thing.
Yes.
Kind of works. Like, that was, like, kind of, like, my iffy of, like, oh, like, how are they going to do this time? Are they going to be, like, practical or, like, an in-between? It's definitely, like, the old-school Thing look, just from what, like, you know, just being around Marvel over the past few years. Like, I kind of recognize that character. But it kind of looked good. It was, like, a little over-top, the cooking scene in the trailer of, like...
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, okay, come on, like, let's leave the bear in the past there, but... Like,
Yeah, I don't know. The dialogue in the trailer seemed weird and, like, wooden to me. But anyway, like... To your point about the Thing and just the effects in general, like, one of the benefits of seeing so many iterations of these movies, just like with Spider-Man, is, like, how are they going to do it this time? Is it, you know, do we get progressively better every single time? I remember, like, the Tom Holland Spider-Man was the first one to have emoting eyes on the suit. Do you remember that? And that was like a holy shit moment. And you know, just like we've come so far with with mocap since probably the last iteration. I was also curious about how they were gonna do the thing. But yeah, I don't know. I'll probably end up seeing it.
Oh yeah, it's
Anyway.
it's gonna be a big loud movie. That'd be a fun IMAX one, honestly. Like a
Yeah.
really bombastic kind of, you
We
know,
haven't done a
showpiece.
popcorn movie in a while, dude. And I'll tell you this, after seeing The Substance, I think I'm gonna fucking need one. Let's roll right into that.
Yeah, I do love
'Cause
it. Did you love it?
no, I'm sorry, dude. It's funny because Grant took me to Nosferatu, and also for the record, like this is us trying to continue our run of seeing a lot of these Oscar movies before they come out, and we're doing well. I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, I'm super ahead.
And Nosferatu is not nominated for Best Picture, but I
Not Best
believe
Picture. It's got a lot of stuff.
quite a few of the
Bottom
technical
line.
awards.
Yeah.
And ironically, like I mean, maybe not ironically, but I'm not a horror movie guy. I said this very like upfront to the audience and also to Grant when we went, and which is why it takes me to movies like that and the what was the South Korean one? That was awful. Not
Oh,
awful,
Old
but
Boy. Old
oh
Boy.
my God,
Yeah, that was
that was
good.
an unbelievable. That was an wild experience, but I loved Nosferatu. I loved everything about it. I was talking and raving about that film for like weeks afterwards. Totally obsessed with Robert Eggers, and he's like right on my list of everything I need to consume once we're
I
through
was gonna
this
say,
Oscar.
have you kind of jumped in any of his other stuff yet, or are you just focusing on the Oscar stuff still?
Oscar stuff first, and then he's like priority number one, along with Kurosawa. I don't know. I want to go deep on that shit. I've seen zero Kurosawa movies, but all of this to say, sorry, I've kind of buried the lead here.
No.
Like the substance that I didn't like it. I didn't like
No, I
it.
know you wouldn't. I told you wouldn't,
You did.
but I was very, very forward about that. I was like, this is not a
Yes.
Dave movie, but now you have to see it because it's in the Best Picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not here to be like, this is a dog shit movie for dog
No,
shit
no,
people.
no.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I think like I understand, relatively speaking, like why people like it. I also do think like, especially like maybe the first half or 50 or 60%, like it's very like aesthetic movie. It's shot in a really cool way.
That
Like
soundtrack,
the
like
set.
it just kind of like kicks in when it goes to like the other her and
Yes. Oh yeah, the soundtrack is really, really effective. I like Demi Moore in it. I don't know about the whole Oscar hype for Demi Moore. I mean, it's
I think it's like you know, I think like historically, like body transformations or like
Right.
that kind of thing is really popular. So I think that's kind of like where
Sure.
that's going. Like she does kind of like bear, you know, like there's, I think there's like two like very specific scenes I think kind of like, oh, that's like what got her in, like where she's about to go on the date and she kind of like, you know, is attacking herself with the makeup and
That's a good
like
one. Good scene.
very vague, very, and there's like I think another similar, the first transformation scene too, like. You
Astounding,
know,
yeah. Like,
yeah. Like, I think there's like some really good like physical performances by her. I honestly think it's deserved. Like, I am a really big fan of this movie.
right.
I can see why some people would say like, oh, like, you know, it's not like
Yeah.
a lot of monologuing and acting, but like she,
You make a
you
good
know,
point. I did,
yeah.
that's fair. And just to wrap up on my review, like the set design is astounding. Like the colors are like actually beautiful to look at. Like it's really cool.
That sunburst kind of feeling to, yeah.
I also like how big Dennis Quaid was. I like those directive choices. I don't know. I thought there's a
That
lot I
seems so
liked.
gross, him fucking mucking away on the shrimp or whatever, or the whatever it was.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this in like the pros column,
Yeah.
even though it disturbed me throughout the whole movie, is like their sound design is unbelievable. Like the way they were able to get mics in, you know, near chewing sensations and tearing noises, water, ooey gooey blood noises, all that stuff, they did so effectively, so much so that like it was grotesque. You know what I mean? Like it
Oh yeah.
the sounds grossed me
Body
out.
horror. It was like, yeah, like it's
And I'm not used to that, right? So I was just like, just the scene you brought up, the him eating shrimp early, I was like, oh my God, like this is disgusting, and we're not even doing anything gross yet.
No, we're still working up to
Yeah.
it, yeah.
Okay, last
But
part, Grant. I think like the third act of the movie, I was like, all
way too
right,
long. It's
way
way
too
too long. I
long,
agree, yeah.
way too long. They cross firmly over into like cheesy territory, and I was like,
I agree.
I think like I mean I th spoiler alert, right? It's
I think,
spoiler
yeah,
alert.
it's fair, yeah.
I mean, I think the moment the movie should end when Margaret Qualley kills Demi Moore. Fucking be done. Like that, it's tragic. It's so violent. That whole scene is like really good of
And then
them fighting.
it just drags like 22 minutes,
What are we doing
more.
here?
It is too much. Genuinely, the first like
Yeah.
2/3 of the movie are like really,
Really
really
good.
focused, and they're really kind of getting the message across. My only nitpick with the movie is like when Margaret Qualley is building like her storage chamber. I was like, that is so professionally done. Like, I want to hire her as a contractor for like any additions we need to the house. I was like, how did she just like learn to like perfectly make that, you know?
You know, it's
That would be like
funny.
a month project.
You're absolutely right. It's funny because, you know, like it's weird what audiences get hung up on, right? We talked about this a million times, but like I remember being like you know, she gets the recommendation to me, and then she gets the package with the substance and the kit. And I was like, okay, I mean, all of this is of course ludicrous, but like they've labeled it, they've set like rules within the world, switching every 7 days, the food pack. I was like, you know what? Like they're making
24/7 customer service, like immediate response. Where I thought that was a nice little touch.
like an honest effort to answer the biggest questions. They never mentioned like what she pays for it or anything, and I was like, okay, I would have liked to see some of that.
You think so? You don't think that would have bogged it down just to like a little too inside into it?
You're right. I don't know. I wanted to know what the arrangement was just a touch more, but I think they did enough that I kind of like I suspended my sense of disbelief. But I did also clock the construction thing that you mentioned, and I was like, okay, I was like, that's a little weird. Like, how hard is it to like add a 45-second sequence of Margaret Qualley calling a handyman or a group of them?
In a bathroom, there's water piping everywhere, and she just starts going into that wall. I was like, that easily could have been like some
They
serious
tried.
lighting.
You could tell they tried because they have her walking around knocking on the walls to see if it's hollow. But I was like, just
I know.
instead of this scene, put a quick time lapse of a Reno or something, or if that's too complex, cut it entirely and put the body in the closet. You know, like in a different room. Like, yeah, that was a little weird. But anyway, that is
It's just a
definitely
nitpick. It was just
definitely
a
nitpick.
funny little
But you're
detail.
right. We had the same one. Anyway, wild, 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 wild. Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know Dennis Quaid was in the movie. I was kind of excited about that.
It was a surprise for me as
Oh,
well
really?
when he bought it. Yeah, I had no idea. I knew the only two people was Margaret Qualley and
Nice.
Demi Moore that I knew about.
I know this isn't popular, especially today, but Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, okay.
No, but Ellen used to do this segment, which you know they do on Impractical Jokers, and they've done on comedy shows forever, where she'll send a person or a celebrity into a public situation, and she's got a mic in their ear, and they have to say what she tells them to
Oh, sure.
say. And anyway, there's this fun clip that I laugh every time I see Dennis Quaid because he has this weird nostalgic part. And for me, I think he's in that Parent Trap movie, right? With Lindsay Lohan playing twins. Anyway.
It was a big one for
I
us.
for yeah for us for the 90s kids listener, let us know if Parent Trap means anything to you at all. But
I showed her
anyway,
to Corinne Blue or mine. She was like, that's two people, right? I'm like,
yeah. Oh, really? I
yeah.
mean, movies like that are, I mean, Armie Hammer and Social Network, unbelievable. Anyway,
Talking about unpopular.
yeah, no kidding. Can't think of a cannibal joke. Ellen sends Dennis Quaid into a Starbucks, and her instructions to him are just in your loudest booming voice, walk in and say, Dennis Quaid wants a coffee. Like he has to talk in the third person the whole time. I was like, oh, this poor bastard. But he like really goes for it. I don't know anything about Dennis Quaid other than that.
Well, I could tell you that's very on brand. Like for years, I remember when I was living in Ottawa with with a friend of ours, and there was this like viral clip going around that ended up being like
Oh
a College
no.
Humor skit,
Oh,
and it
okay.
was I think it was like in relation to the Christian Bale freakout on set,
Yes.
and so they did like Dennis Quaid did with College
It was
Humor, but it
him?
was like,
I've seen that. I didn't know
and
that was. That's
there's literally to this day like. He has a line delivery of calling someone Dopey the Dick that like it's the greatest delivery, like off-camera delivery, and I think about that all the time.
I knew College Humor did a spoof. I'd seen it so long ago. I didn't realize it was Dennis Quaid until you just said that. That's funny. Yeah,
very angry voice. Good angry voice.
Yes, he's booming. Old man, fill the room. Really pulls off a suit in this movie. Such a tacky asshole. All right. So that's The Substance. What do you want? Do you have any movies you want to cover?
I did watch. I watched a few movies actually over the past 2 weeks.
Oscar flicks?
last year's or the year before's. Actually, no. I did watch The Apprentice.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, really enjoyed it. I going in, I listened to the interview with like Sebastian Stan was on The Big Picture. He was on Marin, and like definitely talked about The Apprentice a little bit, not too much, but I was like going in, like, just with the current, obviously the current climate of like, that man.
Of course.
Like, is
we
it gonna
can
be
speak
like,
his name. It's a biopic about Trump.
The Apprentice, people can figure that out.
Hey, yes.
But like to see going in like, oh, is this gonna be like a super polarizing, like one way or the other, or is it gonna like underplay it? But it's Sebastian Stan, I'd find that very surprising, like if he, like after seeing A Different Man and then going to The Apprentice, the dude's got insane range. But
And
like
I think choice, artistic integrity and choice. His projects, especially post Marvel, have been like deliberate, it feels like.
Incredible.
So it's hard to
Really good
picture
choice.
him making some puff or propaganda piece for either side.
So I like all I'll say is like it's pretty obvious. Like I think it's all more or less based on like known history. Like, there was a couple things like I didn't know. I do gotta say, like, I think I can't remember if we had talked about this like when in a group chat or what, but there was one. I'll just say it, like I guess like a warning for people. Like there's like a pretty significant like sexual assault scene in the
Okay.
movie, and like like it's like very it's like a like a horrifying moment and this and that. But like the entire time the scene, and it just goes like with our association to the to Donald Trump. Like I just found it so surprising. Like either this is like fact. Like on the record, and like there's no disputing it or fighting it, and like it couldn't just be made up because like he is such a, like a litigious person, Like I have like I feel like I've seen and everything he says, like we see, like it's in every article. I just my biggest takeaway from the movie was like that's crazy. Like I didn't hear about like him arguing like some stuff specifically in the movie, and I think you actually had mentioned like his camp has officially said like the movie is awful and dog shit and this and that, but
Yeah, the White House press secretary has gone on record like at their briefings just being like, yeah, it's a piece of crap movie by bad artists, etc. Like I think they have made attempts to distance themselves from it. But like I'm also not in the absolute loop on the most hyper recent
But
history,
but
right?
Sebastian Stan and Jeremy Strong are like Jeremy Strong is on one, and it's like he is so good, so dialed in, and like his just
He's
there's this
nominated as well, isn't he?
There's like a recurring shot. There's like this one club in the movie that they go to. It's like like
Mar-a-Lago?
a no, like in New York City. It's
Or
like
like
when
a
Donald
nightclub?
Yeah, it's like before Donald Trump is like he is like Donald Trump or whatever. Like he's
Yeah.
still trying to make a name for himself, I guess. And Jeremy Strong's character like clocks him, and it's like The Shining, like where he's on the other side of the club, and the camera's just like he's in between like two walls, or like he's in like a back area. And just the way the camera like zooms in on like his demonic look of like kind of like staring at like Sebastian Stan of like trying to assess the, the character or whatever. I was like, that's like it's a really good shots movie. Like it's kind of like a good like movie nerd movie. But again, final notes. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I was genuinely engaged the whole movie. The genuine or the sorry the gradual progression of Sebastian Stan as Donald Trump, like it wasn't just like 2025 version of him. Like there was like you actually felt like the phases, and the movie's kind of shot like grainy, like in the 80s at certain
Do
points.
you meet
It's
him
kind of really
roughly in
cool.
that? Like, are we talking like we covered decades plural of time?
I think you get him from like mid late 70s to 80s 90s.
Okay. So it gives Sebastian Stan probably a lot of time to like develop the mannerisms in the character as
Oh
he gets.
yeah, and like there's like one there, like towards like the end of the movie, there's just like a scene in an office, and like you can like, oh, like that's the guy I know today.
That's
Like
wild.
yeah, it's like you can it's just such like a I don't know, it's like watching Dracula come out of his fucking casket.
Right.
It's just like, oh, there he is. Like But no, I did enjoy it. It's definitely worth a watch, honestly. Like, politics
Yeah,
aside or whatever,
of
I think
course.
it's I think it's a good movie. Very well made, and two really, really strong performances.
That's interesting to hear, man. Because as you and the audience probably know, I'm a big Sebastian Stan fan, and I listened to his Marin interview, which you recommended, which
So
was outstanding. And yeah, the vibe I got was that, like, he as an actor was not interested in like a biopic of like, let's just play the greatest hits. That's like a giant hit piece on like why this guy is the worst person on the planet, etc. And the guy who made it is like Sebastian Stan's foreign born, right? He's from Romania. And so is the director of the film, whose name escapes me. But the way he explained it is that it very much feels like a film written and directed by a person who's like an outsider, like who's watching it happen, right? Watching Trump on the way, as opposed to like, you know, looking at present day and kind of looking backwards. It's like, let's just try and figure out how we got to this one point. And yeah, it's funny because I'm super stoked that Sebastian's nominated for an Oscar for it, but
I wish it was for A Different Man, genuinely, like the better movie, but I understand
really
this
yeah
is
okay
the one.
But as
you
say,
you have to watch that
I
one.
Will That's, I will watch both. But it's funny because, as you know, like, otherwise my kind of annoying thing I get annoyed about is the like is the biopic Oscar, which like wins disproportionately versus every other lead
Timmy's
actor
got this
lead.
One in the bag.
Who?
Timmy's got this one.
Yeah, it seems split between him and Adrian Brody, right? But likely Timmy Chalamet, and also for a biopic. So
we should do our Oscar picks.
I gotta get through this. How much time do we have?
It's March. So we have
okay.
a month.
So yeah, let me wrap up on mine. But then we should. I agree. We should do them on the pod. I'm sure,
yeah,
that'd
be
I'm
fun.
Sure that's what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
But yeah, I guess other movies. I watched Challengers.
Damn it, man, you're ahead of me everywhere.
Yeah, that was it was good. I enjoyed it. Like, I'm such a big fan of the Big Picture podcast, and they really pumped it up. Like, it should have been nominated for all this stuff.
This is what I hear everywhere.
I did enjoy it. It was good. The soundtrack is phenomenal, like front to back. I've been listening to it nonstop. It's a Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross one. Just incredible, really incredible stuff. But I did enjoy that. Zendaya, she's more, that's the thing, like, my
does she
only
cross the boundary in this film, like, to me, I mean, okay, so I haven't seen Euphoria,
yeah,
in which I
neither have
I understand she probably it's probably a much more dramatic role, but, and I hate to say this, but to me she is still Mary Jane, right? Like, this is like her, I know she's gone on record talking about like this is her big like I'm a leading woman movie.
You feel that in the movie,
yeah,
for sure. There, I think there's something like about her, like, you know, like I even had the problem in Dune and in Spider-Man 2. Like, there's, I don't, like, I would never say she's a bad actor. Like, I genuinely don't think that, but there is just something about her that kind of feels like outside of the movie. Like, she, sometimes it feels like she's just kind of like plugged in.
Sure.
You know, like, it's not, it doesn't always like blend super well.
Yeah.
This was probably the closest thing to like, oh, like I buy her as like a very powerful, like, driven person, and, you know, the way she a manipulator, like, it's a big part of this movie, like the way she like messes with these two guys, you know, one of them being her husband,
right?
But again, I really enjoyed it.
That was a trailer I was rather irritated about as I watched the trailer for that, because we're talking about what we're gonna watch next, and
yeah,
it was one of those trailers I was like, okay, like, I was sold 30 seconds in, and it was just giving me the whole plot of the movie, and I was very irritated about that, because everything I knew about the movie was probably what happens, what I assume to be in Act One when they're kids or teens or whatever it is.
Yeah, it crosses like a 25-year period.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tennis movie. I kind of realized it after the fact, and it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like,
right,
the back and forth between like a certain time period and now, like, okay, a tennis match kind of is
right.
The idea, I guess.
Interesting. I didn't know about all the time stuff. But anyway, I'm going to get to it. Despite it not being on the Oscar list, but like, it just seems like a movie I need to see.
It's very much, very much up your alley.
I'd like to watch good drama. I think I'd like to watch Anora next.
Yeah. I think I'd really like to see The Brutalist.
I know.
I'd like
I don't
to
know if we're
going to
catch that local show, but
no, I don't think so.
But no, we both have to see it.
Well,
I mean,
it's the biggest contender in that fight, but
oh my God.
But I guess just to wrap up my kind of my movie marathon this week, I watched The Whale.
Oh, Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser. Yeah, did you see that?
No.
It's been like I'm super behind. I wanted to see it at the time, and you know, I had like, you know, I was like, oh, let's just fire it up finally.
Yeah.
It's on the list. I'm trying to get through my list of stuff that I'm behind on movie wise. It was good. It was okay. It was like pretty intense, like pretty gross, but like that's kind of like the point. Like watching a man more or less kill himself.
He bagged the Oscar for that one, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, he did.
It was that 23 like or 24? Or no, we're doing 24.
I think it was a 22 movie, yeah. 23 Oscars.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was good. I don't know her name offhand, but there's like his friend essentially, like who is, I think she was like the sibling of his partner.
Yeah,
and she was really good, and like I could have gone like majority of the movie just more of them, like kind of like her begging him to like stop, but she's enabling him. It's I don't know. It was a good movie. Very, I was like, oh, I need to go for a walk after this one. Like it just felt kind of sad and gross. But
I kind of had a feeling it was going to be like that based off the trailers at the time, and in a very different way, but similar feeling. Like I remember watching the Substance trailer and I was like, I bet this is a good movie and I bet I'm gonna have a hard time watching it. And The Whale was like that, in that it was like, I bet this is gonna bum me out. And sometimes it was
a bummer.
Some movies have like a kind of a God, I know how this is gonna sound, but it's true. Like some movies have like kind of a beautiful sadness to them.
Sure.
Where like Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? Or like Drive My Car, where it's like, yeah, but it's beautiful. I don't know if like The Whale, I don't know.
It was like sad. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely, I do have to say, like, you know, I'm kind of split on Darren Aronofsky. Like, you know, I like some of his stuff. I'm not sold on all of it. But, you know, like, there was definitely, there's a plot to the movie where, like, he's trying to, like, get his daughter back in his life and all that, and you're like, oh, like how is this going to play? Is this going to be like a traditional, like, oh, and like the last minute, you know, it's going to be like a total flip, like she's like kind of like not a nice person either, like they kind of get into like why everyone's kind of fucked up and who did what to who, and it's kind of, it takes place over a week, and I just thought like the beats was really cool. I'm glad like they didn't like cartoonishly, like, you know, like about an obese person and all that, like it wasn't like kind of played as a joke, like it felt very serious and kind of real and, you know, and whatnot. But, it definitely didn't feel like a judgy comedy or anything like that. It felt very, like, a weirdly delicate matter, I guess. And, it was good. I will watch it again one day because I feel like there's a lot of layers to it.
Sure.
And there's, like, a lot of, like, kind of faking out of, like, very obvious, like, kind of, oh, here's like the analogy we're trying to go for, and like, but there's like a lot of like very hidden, deep stuff, and kind of, you know, it feels like a. I think it is based on a play, and it feels like a play, like it's all set in his apartment. Yeah, but
I saw Brendan Fraser saying he'd happily return to the Mummy franchise.
Never seen him.
Never say never. Okay, I have a thought. Is that it for your movies?
Yeah.
Why don't we do Severance, and then like the front half of the show will be all the live action stuff, and then we can do anime in the back half.
Yeah.
Okay, so Severance Season 2, Episodes 2 and 3. Because I think we only talked about the pilot, because that's all that was out last pod, right?
Yeah. There's all, every pod will have two episodes to talk about.
Man, so I don't even know where to start. Like, pretty... Okay, spoiler warnings for Episodes 2 and 3 of Severance Season 2, Episode 3.
Been almost a week.
Yeah, I think, like, what is shocking me is the pace.
It feels very quick, eh? Feels like, not breakneck, but it feels like they're kind of skipping along.
Especially what happens at the end of Season 2, Episode 3. The big spoiler alert is the Mark in reintegrating. Now, who knows how much
cool
time...
Cool scene.
Unbelievable scene.
Yeah.
Who knows how much time this will eat up in the show? Like, maybe he has, like, after effects like that PD guy did, and that's, like, all of Season 2.
Can I ask you a like a lore question?
Yeah.
The reintegration, like that is like a detail I forgot. What is that exactly? Like, I know we've heard it and we know what it does, but I just forget.
It's the idea of smashing together the consciousnesses. So
Okay,
like
the innie and the outie.
the
Okay.
innie and the outie, so that Petey could remember what his innie saw, and hopefully vice versa.
So he's not, it's not like a case where like he is going to be reversed. Like when he goes in, it's going to be him down in
So that's not
macro
ultra
data.
clear yet, like,
Okay.
because Petey died from the process, right?
Yes.
I think, but I think Mark, like, I think that, I forget that lady's name. Who does the reintegration? I
Oh,
forget.
yeah.
But I think the thing is that when she made it clear that there was a fighting a chance, no, like there, you know, his wife was not dead with all certainty,
Sure.
and that like she may be in there, like it was pretty wild to see Mark be like, all right, let's fucking go. Like he, because remember, like the reason the guy did Severance is because she died. So it's like if she's in there, like yeah, like he's probably game to like risk it and jump in. But yeah, like Petey died pretty early. We didn't really get a lot of answers from him, you know, probably for plot reasons. But like, yeah, so it's not ultra clear to me, like, will Mark just be a singular consciousness now that like still feels that way about Helly, but
Sure.
also is mourning his dead wife who may
Oh,
not be
wow.
dead. So
Yeah.
is he just gonna walk in like, hey, and the chip in his brain does nothing at all in the elevator? That's
Yeah, well,
all
okay.
unclear.
So,
All
yeah, that's what
unclear.
I was trying to remember exactly what the reintegration
Yeah.
was.
But it's some kind of reversal of the severance procedure. But like to what level of detail, we don't know.
It was funny, like we were watching the scene, you know, like the scene of like him trying to like imprint the message in his eyes, and I'm thinking like, oh, and I'm like, oh, what a creative way of like trying to get an answer down,
Yeah.
and then like immediately like she like knocks down of like, oh, that's just like internet conspiracy stuff
Yeah.
that's actually a stupid idea, and I was
Yeah.
like, oh, apologies, like,
Well, so at first I agreed. I was like, oh, this is creative.
yeah,
But
the
like the
timing. I
longer
was
you,
trying to figure out what he was doing with the timing and.
the longer you, the more you piece it together, you're like, wait, like to have it imprinted on your eyelids for 2+ minutes, like you're gonna have to burn the shit out of your eyes. Like I think he was gonna find that out the painful way,
Yeah.
one way or another. But
Yeah.
yeah, I like that they did that little like deviation of him like giving it a go and working with his sister, who I like more and more, as like the way she tells like this, she more or less tells Milchick to fuck off. And is it Natalie, the girl who comes to the house,
I
who
think
always
so,
has
yeah.
the board on the
Yeah.
phone?
Yeah.
Like she's pretty cold to the Lumen people, and rightly so. But like I like that she is not fazed by them in any way. God, what else, dude?
The wow, the I think the biggest in the most recent episode that sticks the most out to me and Leanna, like the two of us were kind of just like in disbelief on the couch. Dylan meeting his, you know, wife, like his Odie
Wild.
wife, and like just the like the compl like the levels of you know of how fucked up that is. Like,
Yeah.
because A, we don't really know like if. You know, I think she's just there to kind of like keep him in line, more or less. Like, you know, they're kind of playing to his emotions,
Yes. They're using
but
like
there's layers of like, you know, she clearly like I think there's like a connection thing where like maybe the Odie is kind of a bum, and you know she is tired of defending him, but this guy's like so nice and witty and funny, and like because there is like polar opposites, right? Like, you know, like the like Irving on the outside is super distrusting and like doesn't trust anyone, and then on the inside he's the most subservient, like. You know, he is a kind of, you know, he has like his own, you know,
Yeah.
like, you know, emotions
But
and
I agree.
stances, but
Irving's outie in particular. I mean, Irving and Dylan, they seem to not have a lot in common with their outies. Their innies and outies. Yeah. Yeah.
But even look at Mark. Like, Mark is so low and so like
Yeah.
cynical and against himself, and you know, Mark S is just like, you know, like gung ho, like let's do this, like the adventure of it, like the.
Yeah.
You know, the positivity, like there it's, you know, a lot of inverses, right? But yeah, just the Dylan scene. I was like, this is so messed up.
That was
Like,
messed up. I really liked in episode 2 Milchick's like quest through the episode of him on his motorcycle and these beautiful shots of him riding through and visiting, firing everybody. And we did the whole reverse, like, okay, we did fire them, then we brought them back. We got confirmation that 5 months did not pass, which is
Sure.
good,
Yep.
because that made not a lot of sense. Also, Audie Irving is clearly up to something. Like he goes to
Yeah.
that payphone and makes a call, and then we see Bert is following Audie Irving. We did not get clarification on what the fuck happened at the end of Irving's innie's journey to Bert's house, right?
That's true,
We know he was pounding on Bert's door, and he knew where Bert lived. And then we don't know what happened. So it leads me to believe that they probably had some kind of interaction. But Audi Bert was probably... But I don't know. Audi Bert seems fucking with it. Or Audi Irving seems aware of shit.
Yeah,
like, Milchick showed up, and he was like, what's this about, bro?
Yeah, what do you want?
What do you want? He's painting that shit at home. He has Lumen employee addresses on file in his house. So I don't know. I think Audi Irving is maybe trying to put pieces together.
There's always... just a second there, Dave. You're lost your video there.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Oh no.
You're like a still image.
First of all, how dare you? Okay, hold on. Well, I guess we can probably just keep talking while I resolve this.
But I don't know. Like the other thing too, like it's so funny because like the most cartoonish moment in last season was like the stuff with the goat, right? Like it kind of completely cut us like off, you know, caught us off guard. Like, oh, like what's going on? Like, why are they feeding the goat? And then like they go into this and like I was like, oh, like it was like full blown, like felt like a horror movie for a hot second. The guy with the goat, I was making a joke to Leanne. I'm like, oh, it's Black Phillip from The Witch. And, like, as the camera keeps panning, you see it's a face. I'm like, oh, that's, like, way creepier than, like, Black Phillip. But,
the goat thing is super weird, dude. So I've got some theories I want to run by you. I have nothing for the goat stuff.
No.
I mean, okay, that's not... My one thing I said to Sam was, like, okay, the only thing I have here is like I didn't in real like the real world didn't we clone a goat at one point and it was like or a sheep
a
and
sheep,
it was
yeah.
it was like cause of great controversy. I don't know. Are we cloning the goats? Are we?
But they're like, it feels like a little more red herring and stuff because they have the guy who's like, you know, we need to see your stomachs, you know, like, and they're like, oh, there's no pouches, and like they're very aggressive. They assume they're there, you know, to kill them. They're very defensive. Yes. Where they were hiding, I don't know. I was, like, trying to figure out, like, did they come out of the mounds? Logistically, I was like, how were they so hidden so well?
The pouches things, I said at the time, I was like, oh, like, they're curious about the anatomy. Like, what does that tell us? Like, what does that mean? Are they genetically altered? Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Or they're just innies. Also, I don't think we talked about this last podcast, but, like, how messed up Miss Wong is, the kid.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't talked about her at all. What the hell's going on there?
You know, and like, just it's so funny to see Dylan around her because like the two scenes.
Why are you a kid?
Yeah, why are you a kid? Like, am I in trouble? Are you like, just keep asking. She looks very good performance because like very, just like a very like adult, like annoyed superior look of like, just can you like shut up and like keep moving? You know, like it's not like a child performance. It feels like an adult performance.
It feels like an adult. In a child's body, which is maybe what's going on. I don't know, but it's very good. I agree.
Are they forcing you against your will?
So I'm guessing, I'm realizing right now, I put out like a brief like theory on the TikTok and on the Instagram. Did you see that?
I didn't actually, no.
Okay. I'll run it through quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we talked about this, but...
You hit me with the theory last time, yeah.
I did or did not?
You did, yeah.
Okay.
I think just kind of like your...
I couldn't have on the pod, though, because I only formed it afterwards, I think.
No, but you had. I think you had a theory on what MDR was actually doing and like kind of like what they were kind of showcasing
to
us.
Yeah, so this connects a little bit. The very brief retelling is that, you know, Keir Egan says he found the four core tempers that make up a human soul, and those are, you know, frolic, woe, malice, and dread. And the theory that I think a common theory is that MDR is doing something that relates to those four core tempers, because it's shown on screen. At least the abbreviated versions of those words are shown in buckets. And I think that's possible. And then also in early season one, this is an interesting one, when they're onboarding Helly and training her innie, one thing that they tell her is like, oh, like you have to try and do it like, we want to be efficient because most files expire. And she goes, what? Like, or we don't complete most files. She goes, why wouldn't you complete them? She's like, well, they expire. We only finish like 1 in 5 files. So this led me in a weird way to like my theory of like, I mean, could it be a brain? Like, could they be remapping soul data or consciousness data to a brain that's like going to expire because it's like on ice? I don't know. I recognize that's like a bit of a reach. But this just led me to, especially in episode two, a lot of episode two is when they go back, right? They show you in reverse order what happens to all the Audis, what Milchek is up to, and that it's very clear that Lumen and Patricia Arquette's character, Cobell, like they want Mark back, specifically Mark back. They want to give him a raise in pay, and they want him back to finish Cold Harbor. And we know Cold Harbor is in some way related to Gemma because they show us that on screen. And they show us that with a bunch of biometric data as well. There's a heartbeat counter there. There's like brainwave activity. Anyway, so the theory is like, is Mark for some reason more likely to complete that macro data refinement on Gold Harbor?
Because it has to do with Gemma.
Because it has to do with Gemma. Like, does his blank slate consciousness, like even like, does it give him a higher likelihood because he has some kind of subconscious attachment or familiarity with her with whatever makes her up? I don't know, and I don't know why she wouldn't expire because she's fucking walking around. So we know there's a car accident. We know who he identified her body. I don't know. I think maybe the long shot theory I've got is like, maybe her body, just like, with an organ donor, maybe, or maybe the inverse. Maybe her body was fine and her brain was dead. So maybe now they're remapping consciousness to the shell. I don't quite know. And then I had like on TikTok or whatever, I was like, okay, and here's the wild theory, right? Is like, Mark's the best job for this. Mark's the best guy for this job in particular because it's his dead wife, right? And then I said, well, what if it's like Neon Genesis Evangelion, where it's like, what if they're all remapping soul data from all of their dead loved ones? Like, what if Dylan's Audi has lost someone?
Oh, okay.
What
I
if
was th as
Irving?
you were talking earlier, I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, maybe they all have someone there.
Now, as far as we know, we don't know if they have, but it could happen. Probably
Well,
not the most likely, but
it could give some credence to like how skeptical Irving is, or like cautious of Lumen in general, like on the outside. So, but yeah, I don't know. The
Anyway,
elevator, we got a cool reveal about like their
exports.
exports, which Lord knows. Also, the scene with Milchek getting like the painting, like the special paintings of Kier, like in like kind of like a mirror to him, and just the scene between him and Natalie of like him telling her like this is fucked up, like, and you could see her of like I know, like, but be happy. Yeah, it was very, yeah, that was very, very heavy.
I haven't seen that Natalie girl, I don't think, in much else. She her
I can't think
facial
of, yeah.
expressions are she communicates like a lot.
Wide eyes, really.
Yeah, and trembling lips and stuff. Like, she's like very good with like showing a lot of emotions at once on her face. Maybe the only other thing is there's this brief encounter between Cobell and Helly's Audi. And we still don't know if her Audi has infiltrated, but hard to say.
Yeah, all the Cobell stuff I'm so like confused on, genuinely.
There's a very particularly weird scene with Cobell because she's kind of off the rails in episode 2 and 3, right? Mark confronts her, she freaks out, drives away, sleeps in her car, goes on who knows what kind of a bender, comes back, demands to be put back in charge. They say kick rocks. And then Helly has a bar on her. I think she says, I think you've overestimated your contributions and underestimated your blessings, which is bars.
Cold.
And then she says, I think we need a reset. Why don't we call the board and have a meeting? And it looks like they're gonna. And then Cobell dips. And I think there's theories on this, but my thought initially is like, she was following Helly to the car until she saw the security guard. And then she was like, I'm fucking out of here. And my only thought is like,
She knew they were just gonna ice her, or
either that, or did she know, like, did his presence indicate that she was in danger? like to your point, or was it? Did she maybe know that guy and now he's a blank slate? She's like, oh shit, I'm about to get like wiped.
I didn't read that as her like being seeing him and being fearful.
Yeah.
I saw maybe, you know, maybe like she knows like what happens to Gemma. You know,
yeah.
why she's down there and not up
yeah.
here. Like, you know, maybe
she knows.
Like,
yeah.
She, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, there could be any a million reasons of, like, why, like, don't go into the spooky building that you can't get out of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't take it as, like, seeing a guy in particular. I think he was just kind of, like, the security guard, like, watching her, and it was her kind of, like, you know, looking
yeah.
out towards and back. But I don't know. I think she's plotting more. Or my thought initially was I think she's going to go find Mark.
Right.
You know, she does not like being spurned at all.
Yeah.
You know, her meltdown at the end of season one.
Yeah.
I think just, you know, the way Hallie spoke to her, she's probably like, no, screw this. I'm going to go find whoever. And maybe she's like a, you know, evil intent, you know, or malevolent intent, you know, trying to
yeah.
help out, you know, Mark and whatnot. But I don't know. Not too sure.
Tricky one. Yeah, she's a particularly tricky one because she'd make a really powerful ally for Mark. But she seems
her.
Devoutly obsessed with the cure stuff. So
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's a hard sell seeing her going away from Lumen, but maybe like going against Helly.
Yeah, not necessarily like against Lumen, yeah, against her personally. But
yeah. There's also some theories out there that I think are possible that one thing that is clear is if Milchek, like I don't know if Milchek is severed at all, right? Because he's visiting people's homes. So is Cobell.
Yeah, I think he's like a regular... Yeah, employee.
So it makes you wonder if at one point they were, and did they earn something? And then in those instances, if you get some kind of promotion, like management position, does your innie just become your outie? Do they just have you on perma override? Do they reintegrate you?
Ooh,
like how did he get that? You know, or was he never severed to begin with? Very
speaking good. Of which, what's the there's the interview that Dylan had. And it was all going super well. He's trying to get a job in the second episode.
Yeah.
And they mentioned severed, and the guy is like total flip, you know, flip the switch. And I was like, yeah, that would be tough, you know? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Also, fun fact for you and the listener, the guy, Dan Erickson, who came up with the series, came up with it while working at a door factory because he hated his job so much.
Wow.
And that interview was at a door factory.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And maybe he came up with the idea of being severed at it. I don't know, but he said he was inspired by his work at a door factory.
Wow.
Which is interesting. Anyway, man, this is the best thing on TV right now.
It's incredible. Like,
I can't believe how gorgeous it is.
And I'm just
devastated.
You know, I'm just like, I think about it and think. And like in the moment too, you're just like. You know, I saw it was an hour long, this most recent episode. It was like, sweet, an extra 10 minutes of this, so down. Like,
hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about
the other best thing on TV right now?
On anime TV?
Yeah.
Solo Level?
Crap.
This shit's so wild.
It is, like, inject this shit straight into my veins. It's so good. I think they're doing a way better job, even already at this point in the season... Even in the first season, there was like lulls. There was like an episode of like no action, no this. It's a perfect blend of like talky this, a little bit of lore this, and then like straight into the juice. Like every episode so far has had really, think back to the best looking scene in season one, like the snake boss fight at the end of episode 3 or 4. That was a highlight.
The ending, you know, where he gets Igris and
yeah, like good. The ending is like really good, but like we're on like. You know, every episode is like boss fight level, you know, or animation kind of, you know, it's just, I'm so in, dude. Like, you know, did you see so there's the whole, like, the stuff with the one hunter and she smells.
Yes.
And she can't do you see Axe Body Spray is doing, they did like a collab?
No, they didn't.
I'm pretty sure. I thought, I was like, oh, you know, this might be like just like someone's memeing online, but apparently it's true. Yeah.
That's funny.
Smell like Sun Junwoo.
The ultimate chat. I mean, like...
It's so funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love this show. Like, dude, like, you know it's a good show when... Especially, this happens more with anime because anime is so short.
Yeah.
But, like, where I'm, like, checking the time remaining because I'm like, fuck, I don't want this to end. Like, it's so good. Yeah, so leveling is amazing. I don't know if there's any major plot like this orc thing at the end of episode 17.
Sure.
It's clearly the beginning of a new arc. But with this show, you don't know if that's going to be a 3-episode arc or not.
I think it's coming out next episode.
Chances are he's gonna fucking ice everybody next episode.
Well, just the whole scene of like him stepping in and saving everybody, and
that was sick.
You know, and also like the really cool the detail of the one party member, the magic user, like clocking and thing, like, does he think we're stupid? Like, we totally see him using stealth magic. It just kind of goes to show, like, he is kind of brute forcing his way.
Yeah.
You know, like, through this, and he's not like the minutia of all that. Like, he's kind of missing a lot of that stuff.
Because
he even said
he's
not a gamer, right? Like, you know, it was kind of like a new system to him, and the concepts were kind of new to him. But him stepping in, and then I was expecting, like, full blown, like, right off the bat, like, you know, the second the orc showed up at the end of the portal, him jumping right in.
Yeah.
I do think the other hunter's going to pop in, is my guess, because it's not blocked off on the outside.
Oh, right. Yeah, like just another group. Yeah.
Yeah, the girl there, the stench woman.
Yeah, because she's S rank too, right?
Yeah. She's the ninth, he's the tenth.
Do you get any vibes of a potential romance arc between the two of them?
Oh, I think that's, a given.
Yeah, okay. So, I don't think we've really had that yet. That's not true. There's been, like, flirtatious stuff throughout the show.
The sister's friend.
Yeah.
They kind of teed that up.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
It's just dialed up, man. Like...
Yeah.
You know?
It's incredibly fun to watch.
I thought it was a cool detail of, like, the wolves from the first episode or the second episode show up. When he first goes, like, he first gets the powers, the player powers, he goes into the dungeon, and the first thing he encounters is those red wolves.
Yes.
And, you know, them popping up, and everyone's like, oh, like, what are these doing here? They shouldn't, and then, you know, they clock all that, but I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Yeah. And just, like, I like the captain and kind of the setup, like, they're taking, like, it's, like, just a little moment of, like, oh, like, you know, I want to prove myself, and, like, he kind of feels like he's going to be around more.
This is definitely the first... Especially before the high orcs like showed up,
yeah.
But this is definitely the most like well-oiled machine, like raiding team we've seen of like high level. Because it, you know, you're along for the ride with him. Like now, this is his first A rank dungeon with a group, right?
Yep.
So it was cool to see like other high level hunters do high level hunter type stuff.
I love the taunt; gets me every time.
Yeah, the taunt is sick. I'm very curious to see what happens with this dad.
That seems like a
big
end of the season stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it for that.
Still keeping up Sakamoto Days.
Yep. They had a little dual episode arc here. Episode 3 and 4. We had the Hitmen. We've got Hitmen coming after Sakamoto in the,
still got another one. There's one more left.
Okay. Wait, another episode to this arc, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we're at the like a theme park carnival
type park. Thing.
Yeah, I have been enjoying it. It hasn't like blown me away. Your wife was telling me it might be worth checking out the manga.
The manga's incredible, yeah.
There's
been like also too. It was kind of a leak today that they're having some. I haven't told Anna this yet. She's not gonna love it. But there's been some production issues apparently behind the scenes. They're struggling a little bit. Which is kind of baffling considering like the way it looks, but whatever. I'm not an animator. You know, they get overworked. I'm not gonna get in on that. But there's been a lot of panels kind of from the manga floating around of like comparing like you know scenes and all that. And you know, like it's been a minute since I've read it, but like that was my biggest takeaway, just how like detailed in the action, like the fight scenes in particular, and just to see like the side by sides of like oof. Yeah, it's quite, like, the show, like, it's a very dialed in series.
Yeah.
Like, lots and lots of detail, even in, like, the little stuff. And, you know, and it's just, you know, like, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess. Like, I could see why there is, like, the, you know, there's no complaints from people. But
interesting.
But, like, I'm still enjoying it. Like, the comedy's great. I'm accustomed to the voice acting now. Everyone kind of fits. But, yeah.
I don't have a ton more to say about it, but I'm having fun with it. What I will tell you is just because, as an FYI... Because you had asked me about this a while ago. It seems... I don't really know what the plans are. I don't know if you've heard, and I haven't looked into it. But, like, Dragon Ball Daima is, like, definitely nearing at least... Like
20 episodes, they said.
Total? Or do we know? Okay.
I think that was what got leaked, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's nearing its conclusion of its arc for sure. And I was like, I wonder if...
I heard it one of the worst Dragon Ball fights.
One of the worst?
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about a recent episode, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. People were pretty disappointed with it.
I genuinely can't remember. Yeah, I don't know. I
Well, must not have left an impression on you then, so
No, it
could
didn't.
just be the internet complaining.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, I think my takeaway is that it's unlike any Dragon Ball project they've done, but I consider that a good thing. Like, I
Sure.
consider it like a welcome change. They're definitely like treading on some ground that previous series have touched. That's kind of like what would have happened with Toriyama, is like they would do like non-canon shit, and then later on he'd come around and be like, oh, I'm gonna do that but better, and I'll make it canon. And like they've done it, like, you know, with GT, like turning him into kids. I wonder where he got that idea. No, but you know what I mean. But like it has radically changed the dynamics of the show in like a positive way, making it much more adventure friendly. It reminds me a lot more of Dragon Ball, the original series, in a positive way. Again, I like what they're doing, and it looks
Sweet.
great.
Right on.
Yeah, dude, I don't think I have a lot more. I did see just last pieces of news. I'm seeing rumors on Demon Slayer. First movie rumored September, with a international release only 5 days later, which would be like a massive improvement
Yeah,
over the
five
first movie.
days. I can deal with 5 days.
Yeah, so that is like an absolute rumor. So that would be great. Denis Villeneuve, your boy, is writing the next Dune movie
I
right
saw
now.
he put his he was gonna do a nuclear apocalypse movie next, and he shelved
Yeah.
that. He's doing Dune.
Which is, he said he couldn't get it out of his mind or whatever, or maybe there's studio pressure, who knows, but
That's a big old truck of money, I think.
yeah. Still, we were talking about the Oscars earlier. I still think it is absurd that he wasn't nominated for director.
No, I know, it's crazy. The ART movie comes out next week. The
Yeah.
we are getting it. I've been getting
Really?
pushes from Cineplex.
Will you see it?
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so. If I can put the time aside, that
Yeah.
would be.
Yeah.
I know there's like an extra scene, but I think it's just like a little epilogue thing,
Yeah, for
but
sure.
just to see it kind of all blending together and
Might be fun.
a lot of those shots cleaned up
It's a good
and
point.
yeah.
Maybe, because yeah, when's in check next chance I'll get to see that in
I
the
think it
theater.
comes out February 10th is the
All
so
right,
it'd
maybe.
be oh it's Monday. That's not right.
Yeah,
Maybe
we'll
it's
figure. We'll
like
figure.
a week stretch. Anyways, but yeah, that would be fun to see.
Yeah, you're probably right. And
So
this whole like Henry Cavill working on this Warhammer series, official green light. So
fuck
like they're
yeah.
moving ahead, I think, into pre-prod or production or whatever it is. But yeah, that's all the news I got.
Right on.
Anything else, my friend?
No, that's it. It was a light week. I had to dip into the last week's movies.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, we'll be back in a couple weeks with more Severance, more Sakamoto Days, more Solo Leveling, and hopefully a couple more Oscar flicks. Maybe Grant and I will try and coordinate which ones we watch, because I think we can't have
I
many
think
left.
Anora. Anora is a good one
Let's
to do
both aim for
next.
Anora. I still
Yep.
haven't seen Wicked, but you have, right?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeah, but I have to.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll aim for a couple. If there's anything any you think we should prioritize, let us know. Thank you for listening. I haven't plugged any of our social media yet. We're on TikTok, Instagram. You can subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, etc. at Part-Time Otaku Podcast in all of those places. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week for our next episode. Grant, go ahead, say the thing.
Bye, guys.